Wow, that's very small.
We're very grateful to Dr. Berman for coming to the Beis HaMedrash today. By coming to our Beis HaMedrash here, so Rabbi Berman expresses his appreciation for the some 40 Talmidim, new Talmidim, who are dedicating themselves with great diligence to learning Baruch Hashem. I mentioned yesterday that as the summer goes on, so the zechus and Talmidim increases. Because at the beginning of the summer, so many yeshivas take a break. So because Baruch Hu is depending on those who are learning to keep the world going. Then Rosh Chodesh Av comes, a lot of yeshivas close down. So because Baruch Hu depends on a smaller group of Talmud. Now Erev Tisha B'Av, so I think we might be one of the few Batei Midrashim. And then after Tisha B'Av, we have another week going. So because Baruch Hu is mamish dependent on this Beis HaMedrash, because Baruch Hu depends on people who are learning to justify the Bria. So Rabbi Berman comes to express his appreciation for the dedication of learning, and we at Yeshiva continuously say, Ashreinu Shiesh Lanu Nosi Kazos, Kazeh, probably. That our Rosh Hashiva, our president, finds his most comfortable place amongst the long day Torah in the Kosei Beis HaMedrash. And that is our greatest strength and our greatest blessing. And it's the great anticipation that I introduce Rabbi Berman.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Moreno Verabenu, Rabbi Neuberger, for you. Our yeshiva, our community is blessed by your presence and by your leadership and your wisdom and your guidance. Me personally, everyone here in this room, and way, way beyond. And it's really just a privilege and joy to be here with you. Rabbi Vrublevsky, thank you so much. Amazing every year here in this Beit Midrash and in our Beit Midrash in the Yeshiva, and the strength of your Talmud Torah and your teaching, the lay leadership of this incredible community, led by Henry Orlinsky, and for this Beit Midrash is just so strong. And our relationship continues to bring me great joy. And our dear friends from the community who are here with us on this very meaningful moment, right before Chatzos on Erev Tisha B'Av. And of course, our dear Talmidim, who are studying, as Rabbi Neuberger said, not just holding up this Beit Midrash, but the Torah in our community, in this world, from what you're learning now, but really for your learning and who you will become. I want to begin with a story that just happened to me about 10 days ago. Before I begin, let me just make sure that people have source sheets. With source sheets, people have, I think you may have to share. Dan, do you have one over there? Okay. Okay. Let me begin with a story that just happened to me 10 days ago. 10 days ago, I was speaking to my daughter, who drove from where we live in Neve Daniel. When I'm not in Teaneck, we still have our house in Neve Daniel in Gush Etzion. And she went to the place where she's doing Shirut Lumi. My daughter is doing national service, helping disadvantaged children. And she's working in a camp. So she drove from my house to her camp, which is in Tekoa. And that morning I woke up to hear on the news that there was a terrorist attack at the intersection at the entrance of Tekoa. There's only one way in to Tekoa. I called my daughter, and my daughter told me that she drove by that area 10 minutes before the attack on her way into to camp. 10 minutes. You know, Baruch Hashem, there was a father and two children. Children were like slightly injured. The father came out of the hospital. And Bezrat Hashem will have a refuah shleima. 10 minutes, your whole world. A cup of coffee is coming earlier, coming later. 10 minutes. Your whole world is could be destroyed. You know, Tisha B'Av is a time when we pause to think about our travails and our journey, not just the near misses, but so tragically and repeatedly in our history, when our enemy's aim came to fruition. I was just the trip before when I was in Israel, I went to Ir David, the city of David, right outside Har Habayit. And there they've discovered the road that the pilgrims took to get to Har Habayit. You literally walk on the street that the Tanaim walked on. You literally are walking on the street up to Har Habayit. And as we were walking, the tour guide said, wait, 1 second, let me just show you something. He went into the wall and he took out something from the wall, took my hand, he put it in my hand, and he said, this is the ashes from the Khorban. You're holding the ashes. And we have the ashes from 2,000 years ago etched into the walls. And that is what Tisha B'Av is. We're holding the ashes, not just of the Khorban, of the destruction of the temple, but the destruction and the tragedy throughout Jewish history. We're holding, we're touching, we're feeling. It's the ashes. And what I wanted to speak about today is, what does halacha direct us to experience on this day that we're holding the ashes? What are we supposed to be thinking? What are we supposed to be feeling? What are we supposed to be experiencing on this day? So if you look at the source sheets that you have, in the beginning is just the first five for your edification, just the sources, both in in the Jewish sources as well as in Josephus, about Tisha B'Av being the day of destruction for the Beis HaMikdash. But we'll begin in source number six. Source number six, the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, rabbis learn, Dvarim She'evel Asur Behen. This Dvarim She'evel Asur Behen, the Dvarim that for somebody in Avelos, it's prohibited, Asur B'Melacha, or Berchitza, Besicha, Betasha, Shamita, Benina, Sasanta. Vastra, Likros, Bator, Benvi, Muksuvim, Lishnos, Bemishnah, Bemadrish, Balachos, and Betaman, Bagad. So there's certain things that it's prohibited for an Avel to do, and includes things that are familiar to us, not just from time of when somebody's experiencing Shiva themselves. It includes rechitza, sicha, a washing, anointing, marital relations, shoes. All these things are prohibited for a person. And of course, it's very similar to the list that we know that is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. And in fact, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Kol Mitzvos, in source number 7, Hanogos Ba'Evel Nogos B'Tisha B'Av. Anything, all the mitzvos that your Noheg in Avelis are also Noheg B'Tisha B'Av, Asur Ba'Achilu B'Shtia, B'Sicha, B'Nilis Asando, B'Tash Shemitza, V'Asur Likros, B'Tar Avim, M'Ksum, M'Lishos, B'Mishra, B'Tal Mej, B'Lachos, U'Ba'Gadus. So if we stopped right here and I asked you, you know, where is it, where are the basis of the Isurim, the prohibitions, the five things that we need to be doing or avoid doing on Tisha B'Av, and be very natural to think that they're midin avelos. It's about mourning. It's the same thing as the mourner. The rules that apply to a mourner also apply to someone sitting on Tisha B'Av. However, if you look at source number 8, you'll find that these very same halachos don't just apply to a case of mourning, a case of avelos. The Mishnah in Tainus says that if it does not rain after Sukkot, after a certain time, so B'nai Yisrael start fasting, and they do one set of fasts, and then after three of those that don't work, then they do another set of three fasts. If you look at the Mishnah in source number 8, Avru Elu V'lonanu Bezdin Gozrin Shlosh Taniot Acherot Al Tzibor, Ochlin V'shosin Mibod Yom. And these fasts, you eat and drink when it's still day, the day before. I mean, you have to stop in the evening when it gets dark. V'ashurin B'malacha B'rechitza B'sicha B'nes Asadu B'tash M'shamita. The same Isurim, the same things that are known for on Tisha B'Av that we think about when it comes to Avelus are also Usur for when it comes to a Tainus Tzibur. Now, what is the focus of a Tainus Tzibur? What are you supposed to be doing on a Tainus Tzibur? What would you say? What are you supposed to be doing? Tshuva. You're supposed to be doing tshuva. What are you doing tshuva for? It doesn't rain. Where tshuva is a way that to repent and to bring the rain, the tzara, there's a anguish, there's a travail, there's something serious that is pending. We're doing tshuva to remove the tzara, and that is the fundamental expression on a Tainus Tzibur. It's the tefillah. For tshuva, to ask Hashem to remove this tzara, to remove this travail. The fact that Tisha B'Av is also related to Tainus Tzibur comes in a number of places. For example, look at source number 9. The Gemara discusses the rules of Nilas Hasanvel about wearing shoes. The Amar of Kana Amar Rav Yachid Shekiva of Tainus Asur Binas Hasanvel. That if a person, individual, accepts a tainus on himself, it's prohibited for him to wear shoes, needless to say, to wear the leather sandals. Why? Because you worry that he accepted on himself a tainus sibor. And a tainus sibor, as we saw in the Mishnah, means not just that you're fasting, but that you're fasting and all the other prohibitions will apply, rechitza, Sicha and Ne'ilas Asandal, just in case. Ne'ilas Asandal, when he was Makabal Tainasi, where he shouldn't wear shoes. The Gemara says back and forth about Amaram, who didn't think that was a problem. And finally, look at the last line in the Gemara, Rabbanan Debe Ravashi, Nafke Kurachayu. They did not have a problem. They thought you could wear leather shoes. we're shu sabri ki hadam reshmol ain tainasiba bavavol ella tishabav gofa. Because they held like Shmuel that there is no tainasiba in bavel but for tishabav. And therefore, if somebody accepts on himself in bavel not to fast, not to eat, you don't have to worry that it's a tiny seaboard that he also is not gonna be able to wear shoes, because that only applies, there's only a tiny seaboard in bavel when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Clearly, the implication, or one possible implication, is that Tisha B'Av and the laws of Tisha B'Av, like Nila Sasandal, Rechitz and Tzicha, do not come because of mourning, but they come because of Tainas Sibor. It's a public Tainas. And how is Tisha B'Av related to a Tainas Sibor? What would you say? What's the connection with Tisha B'Av and a thematic connection between Tisha B'Av and Tainas Sibor?
It's all community.
So Tibor apart, for sure. Everyone's fasting. Say again? So the Yisurim are the same, right? You see the Rechitza and Sicha. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. If Tisha B'Av has a theme of Tshuva, that's going to be a good question. What else? Why would Tisha B'Av be a Taina Sibor? Say again? What do you mean, Mechiras Yosef? That's a great answer. By the way, even if you didn't explain it, that'd be a great answer. What does it mean, Mechiras Yosef? Mechiras Yosef is the whole chain of events that led to the Churban. But how's it tied to Taina Sibor?
We're paying for it.
Nice. Okay, good. So we'll get back to that. Also, the Nila Sandal, by the way, the shoe that they in the Medrash they charge the shoe. Nila Sandal, Mechiras Yosef, Churban, Avelos, it's all tied. I love that answer. But what else? Why would you say Taina Sibor? How is Tisha B'Av midin Taina Sibor? What are you trying to do in a Taina Sibor? Yeah, Yafet. What are you doing in a Taina Sibor? You're fasting to do tshuva, to attain an end to the problem. Thank you. That is the Taina Sibor. The Taina Sibor is when a tsara is coming upon you and you are doing tshuva to get to an end to the problem. Here, it's a little different, of course, because where's the problem? Yafeh, wow. The problem's us. The idea that, you know, that Sukkos David Hanofelet, that the Beis HaMikdash isn't just destroyed in the past, but every day, as long as it's not built, it's continued to be destroyed, that it's a tzara, that it's not just the past, but it's something that we need to do. So this is, fits very well with the Taina Sibor concept. The Rambam talks about this, and we'll see shortly, that Tisha B'Av also works as a Taina Sibor, which leads to a big question. Have I asked you, why do we do all these practices of washing and anointing, of these prohibitions? I think the first thing people say is not Taina Sibor, but people would say Avelos. It's mourning. So which one is it? Is Tisha B'Av Midin Avelos or is it Midin Taina Sibor? Is it mourning or is it a Ophian nature of a Taina Sibor? There are nafkaminot, there are differences between them. So if you look, for example, in source number 10, while the Isser of Rechitza of washing is the same, that they're both Usser to wash, there are differences whether your Rechitza, the Isser of washing, comes from Avelis or whether it comes from Taina Sibor. So the Gemara says, Amarav from Bar Papa, Amarav Chizka, Kolshu Mishum Evel Kugon Tishaba Ba'avel, Asur Ben Bechamin Ben Bitsone. Anything that is Asur for Rechitza, for washing because of mourning, like if you're fasting like Tishabab or like Avelus itself. So it's Asur whether the water is hot or whether the water is cold. Avelus is Asur Ben Bechamin Ben Bitsone. Kolshu Mishum Tano Kugon Taina Sibor. When it comes to the issur of washing that emerges, because not that there's an issur, not that it's a mourning practice, but that as a Taina Sibor, you're supposed to avoid having experiences of joy. So that Chamin is Asur, Tsonein is Mutter. Chamin is prohibited and cold is permitted. Meaning, while it's true that rechitza washing is both when it comes to Avelus, the Shivas Yemei Avelus, and a Taina Sibor, they're different in practice. Avelus, it's Ben Becham and Ben Mitzonein, hot or cold, and Taina Sibor is only, it's Usher, you just avoid the pleasure, it's Usher for hot, not for cold. Where is Tisha B'Av in this list? Where does Tisha B'Av appear in this list? And Avelos. Okay, let's keep on reading. Amar Avidi Baravin, Apananami Tanina, but no one has Amar Chatzos. So he, Avidi Baravin, brings a proof for Rav Chisda, and he says the Mishnah, when it mentions the Isurim that take place in a Taita Sibur, says that they need to close the bathhouses. Why is it saying they need to close the bathhouses? The bathhouses are. Do they use hot water in the bathhouse or cold water? How many people have been in good bathhouses recently?
They use both.
Okay, they're in a fancy bathhouse. That is a fancy bathhouse. So the bathhouses that they're referring to, like the saunas, like the spas of today. You're saying there's a cold water one also? Okay, I got to frequent more...
Go to the bathhouse there.
They have a cold one. Okay. Look, you have to learn everything new every day. So the but the bathhouses they're referring to, they think that they heat up the water in the bathhouse, and that's the joy of the bathhouse, is that you go into the hot water. So why are they saying to close the hot to close the bathhouses? Because it's usur and a tiny seaboard for hot water. So Amalei Abaye argues on this. He says, "Eve of Bitsonein Usur Sochanis Anaris Mibailimiste." What are they supposed to say? If cold was prohibited, then they'd say you have to dry up all the rivers. You know, what are they going to possibly say? So why is that? Why is that a proof? And then Amar of Shisha Braid Ravidi defends his father, and he explains why it's a proof. Now, what is Abaye coming along and saying over here? What is Abaye's position? What are the two possibilities? What is Abaye's position? What is Abaye's position? What do you guys think? What is Abaye's position? He's either saying one or two things. So when you have to answer everything. Okay, yeah.
Either he's saying that's really something.
Right. Right. The other way, but right. Either meaning he's saying Tzonein is Asur, and he argues with Rav Chisda, or he agrees with Rav Chisda and just says it's not a good proof. Okay, so keep that in mind. Thank you. I appreciate that. So let's keep on reading. Now we go to five lines from the top. Lema Misayele. Let's say the following is a support. And we'll read it as the Bavli would. The current, this version of it, is that it's a support for Rav Chisda. Kol chiyuvei tfilos tovlin kedarkan, ben b'tisha b'av, ben b'yom ha-kippurim. That we learn that you're allowed to tovel in the mikvah either on Tisha B'av or Yom Kippur. If you're scheduled to be tovel, the Gemara in this line says, you can be tovel kedarkan ben betisha ben biyom kippurim. B'mai, ilema b'chamin tefila b'chamin miika shuvim ninhu elalav abitzonein Chiyuvei tefilos in inish achrine lo. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to tovel kedarchan dafka if you're chayiv in it. So if it was b'chamin, how could there be tefila b'chamin? If the water's hot, then it would be mayim sheuvim dafka, as opposed to merchatzos in the mikvah, the water's cold. So it must be b'tzonein. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that it would be aser unless it was tefila kedarkan. That shows that on Tisha B'Av, it is aser to use either hot or cold. And that's a proof, as the Gemara says, for Rav Chisda. That's a proof for Rav Chisda. But if you look at how Rabbeinu Gershom reads the Gemara, it's actually very different. If you look at source number 11, Rabbeinu Gershom says that the name of Misayele, you can look at the underlines, the name of Misayele is not a reference to a support for Rav Chisda. It's actually support for Abaye. And the assumption, as this fine gentleman said, your name is? Yitzi. Fantastic. We'll go all through this and then afterwards. And so as Yitzi says, that Abaye could be holding, he could be arguing on Rav Chisda fundamentally and saying he doesn't think that Tisha B'Av, or that there's a distinction between Aser and between Chamin and Tzonein by Tainas Sibor. And this is a proof for Abaye. The Shemin Lei Damar Tainas Sibor Aser Ben B'Chamin Ben B'Tzonein. Abaye thinks Tainas Sibor is Aser either way. Because the Kuliyam Alor Elecha Tisha B'Av Shu Tainas Sibor B'Tekin and Afilu B'Tzonein Aser. That here, he believes that Tainas Sibor is Aser. Abaye thinks it's Aser Ben B'Chamin Ben B'Tzonein. And this proof that the Gemara brings that Tisha B'Av, you're only allowed to be Tovel Kedarchan, is a proof of a Bayeshita, the Taina Sibor, you can be Tovel Ben B'Cham, it's Aser Ben B'Cham and Ben B'Tzone. So he must have a different Girsa in the Gemara. You have to be very careful in their Girsa. So the Gemara, he must have a different Girsa in the Gemara, as opposed to in our Girsa, where Tisha B'Av shows up where? As part of Avelus. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, Tisha B'Av is actually on the side of Tainas Sibor. So whether it is mutter or usher to wash Bitsonein on Tisha B'Av is dependent on your Girsa and this Gemara, how it's, what it's compared to. Okay, and this goes to the point. What is Tisha B'Av? We know there's an Isser of Rechitza, is an Isser to wash. Is it an Isser to wash because of Abelus? And this is one of the normal rules of Abelus, which would be true by Macham, Betzonein, hot or cold. Or this is Dafka for Taina Sibor, which is different between Cham and Tzonein. Interestingly, there's actually a third possibility. If you look at source number 12, when it comes to washing, so the Gemara says that if you look in the middle, that the Gemara says, "Ein ben Tisha B'Av." Ask Ein ben Tisha B'Av the Yom Kippurim el shezes speko aser v'zes speko mutar. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, just in the case of Safek. A third point of comparison on Tisha B'Av is not just as a kind of sibo or avelus, but Tisha B'Av is compared to Yom Kippur. Now, it could be like the Taina Sibor, as if you're focusing on Tshuva in the most dramatic fashion. But Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are the days where you start fasting the night before. You have a lot of parallel Isurim, Avilas HaSandal, and Rechitza, and Sicha. And a third element of Tisha B'Av is Yom Kippur. And in fact, you can go through this yourself. In the end, the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is similar to Yom Kippur, that it's usher even to wash your finger on Tisha B'Av like it is Yom Kippur. And that's a whole other issue, which is not hot or cold, but is it your guf, or does it include your hands and your face. But I'll leave that to you to look at afterwards. What emerges is that Tisha B'Av has a unique status amongst these three elements. It's not just Avelos. It's not just Tainus Tzibor, and perhaps even just Yom Kippur. But Tisha B'Av is some type of combination of all of them. And what you almost feel is it's almost a wrestling. There's a little bit of a wrestling match in the Rishonim, in which one is a more dominant theme. Now, it's not, and there are halachic nafkamino, for example, hot and cold, or other things like that. We'll see more nafkamino, but you can understand that the tension isn't just a halachic tension, but there's a real tension in focus. If Tisha B'Av is about Avelus, what are you focused on? What direction are you focused on? Right, you're focused on the past. It's about what you're mourning, what you've lost. Avelus is sitting and focusing on the past. It's about what you lost. Tainus Tzibor, Tisha B'Av as tshuva, is not so much focused on what you've lost, but you're focused on where are you going. You're focused on the rebuilding. What is your primary thought process on Tisha B'Av? You should be focusing on what was missing, what was, the destruction, the tragedies, or should you be focused on rebuilding and where we go? And I think that you see this tension in different Gemarot. Certainly after the Chorban, because there's a very natural tendency after the Chorban to be wallowing in what one lost. So if you look, for example, the next Gemara, the Gemara talks about, actually we'll skip for 1 second, look to 14. So the Gemara talks about Kishkarev, after the Chorban, there was a group of people that said, you know what, we're not eating meat or drinking wine anymore. Nitzbalahan Rabbi Yeshua, Amarlan, Banai, with name Ma Iatem Ochem Basar Venatem Shotin Yain. Rabbi Yeshua said to them, why are you guys doing this? Why are you not eating meat or drinking wine? So Amrulo, Nachal Basar. Can we possibly eat meat? The meat that was brought on the Mizbeach that we no longer have now. Can we possibly drink wine that was brought on the Mizbeach that we no longer have now? Amar lahem, im keim lechem lo necha, shekvar batlu menachot. So also you can't eat bread because all the karba mincha that is no longer being brought. After the peros, they said, fine, we'll eat fruit. But peros lo necha, you can't eat fruit. Shekvar batlu bikurim, there's no more bikurim, there's no first fruit. So after the peros acherim, fine, we're going to have other fruits. We'll have fruits not from the shivamina. Mayim lo nishta, but you can't drink water either. Shekvar bitol nisuch hamayim. So Shatku, so they were quiet. Amar lahem b'nai bo, amar lahem shelo lehita abel kol ikar iefshar shekvar nigzer gzera u'tabel yoter midai iefshar shein gozer gzera let zibra l'kim rov zibri chol amod ba. So you can't do nothing because the gzera happens. You can't be paralyzed because the tzibor can't accept. But you need to do, you need to keep it present in your mind. And then you start having the minhagim of how to keep it present in your mind. That you leave amal, amad in your house, you leave it unfinished. there's always something missing. We always reflect and remember something missing in our lives. I mean, for me, I remember when I went to, when we built our house, or we renovated our house in Neve Daniel. It's an amazing thing in Gush Etzion and in other places that the people who are building the houses often are workers who could be Arab workers. And they're building the houses. I remember we had a great, we actually had an amazing contractor. His name is Mustafa. He was really, it was amazing, straight, honest, yashar. It was a great experience. And Mustafa had his workers, and they're building the house, and they're doing the renovations. And then one of the workers started plastering this top corner that was unfinished. And Mustafa saw him, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're finishing the plus." He goes, no, Zeichel HaKorban. You can't do that. Everyone knows Zeichel HaKorban. It's entrenched in our minds that, you know, we have meat, we have wine, but we're always missing something. But what you see in the Gemara is this interesting feeling. And this you know, feeling that you want to do Avelos. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying we need to also move on. Perhaps this shows up most prominently in the Gemara Megillah, at least the original understanding of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, source number 15. Rabbi Bikesh La'akor Tisha B'av Lo Hodzala. The Rabbi sought to uproot Tisha B'av. To stop Tisha B'av, and they were modedim. Amar lefan of Rabbi Abba Barzav, the Rabbi, lo kachayim aysel, Tisha B'av shechal b'shabbos av v'dechina l'achar shabbos. Amar Rabbi, ho v'nitzche yitzche v'lo hodu chacham. Could it be that Rabbi was trying to uproot Tisha B'av? That can't be. But it was the Tisha B'av that was chal on Shabbat. They moved it to Sunday, and he said, "We, you know, once it's already moved, we don't need to keep it." But this idea of La'akor Tisha B'av, not to have Tisha B'av, it's the same feeling of this, you know, Avelus alone it's keeping us too much in the past. You know, and in the end, we didn't La'akor Tisha B'av. But Tisha B'av became a merger between the past and the future. That's what happened. That Tisha B'av became this kind of merged entity. And you see it, for example, to go back to the Gemara that we skipped. You see it in source number 13. So the Gemara talks about whether you have the mitzvah, whether one could do erusin during shloshim. As we know, in the time of the Gemara, there was kedushin, erusin, and then a year later they had nesuah and they went to the chuppah. And the question is, when it comes to avelos, were you allowed to do erusin during shloshim? Were if you're an avelos, you're in mourning, were you allowed to do the kedushin without the chuppah, without the And the Gemara talks about the Suda, are you allowed to do Erisin? And the first Shita was that it is Usur to do Erisin. It's Usur to do Kedushin. So then the Gemara says, look at source number 13. Amar Rav Chisda. Well, I think just the opposite of Chisda says. It's a Kal V'chomer. A Kal V'chomer ma b'makom sh'asur l'chabes mutr li'ares. Makom sh'mutr l'chabes eno din sh'mutr li'ares. If in a place where it's usur to do kvisa, to do washing your clothes, it's still permitted to do kedushin. So at a time when it's permitted to wash your clothes, certainly it should be permitted to do kedushin. So the Gemara says, Mai, what is this time where it's usur to wash your clothes, but it's mutter to do kedushin? So the Tanah, we learn the Mishnah, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'Tocho. Asr the Sabra Chabes of Chamisha Mutter and they covered Shabbos. Matanya kodem azman azam amatim b'skem elisam elitem elivlam untoa uma arsin avlo kotsin ve'in osin sudas eris. So the Gemara talks about that in a time of the 9 days, it's permitted to wash your, it's usher to wash your clothes, but it's permitted to do erisin. So shloshim, it's permitted to wash your clothes. You can't do giyutz, but you can do kvisa. So then you should also be permitted to do kedushin. The Gemara then says that maybe it's a machlokas tanam. I wanted to take you to the last line. Ela amar Ravashi. Ravashi says you can't compare the two. You cannot compare avelus of shloshim, he says, to the 9 days. Why? Ela amar Ravashi. Shani avelus chadasha ma'avelus yeshana. Shani avelus terabim ma'avelus biyachid. Because avelus, new avelus is different than old avelus, and avelus of the tibor is different than avelus of the yachid. Avelus of the yachid is the new avelus. There are dinim, including it's asur to be makadesh, to have kedusha. But avelus yeshana is avelus derabim. Then you're permitted to have kedusha. You can't compare the two. And what I'd like to suggest is what's happening is that the Gemara is highlighting that this isn't just your typical avelus. There's something different here. It's an avelus with tshuva intertwined. It's an avelus that we don't just focus on the past, but we also focus on the future. And therefore, there are going to be different dinim in this kind of avelus. One fascinatingly different din is kedushin, because you can't get more future-focused than kedushin. So in this avelus yeshana derabim, there's no iser to get married. That doesn't tell you anything about avelus chadasha and avelus of the achad. That's a totally different avelus. But what we're talking about here is an avelus derabim. This is a public avelus, and we don't just focus on the past in this avelus. We're also focusing on the future. And if you understand this different avelus, you can understand actually what happened in the Minhagim of Tisha B'Av. Because when the Gemara moved to the time of the Gaonim added many very interesting Minhagim when it comes to Tisha B'Av. This is very important in general. I say to our Talmidim, whenever you're learning sugyos, to go look at the Otzer HaGaonim. Often you read the Gemara and then you jump to Rashi. What period did the Gemara end? What period did the Gemara end? Roughly. I'd say about 500. Let's get a late date. Let's say 500, 550. When did Rashi live? So 1040 to 1105. So it's 500 years. You have 500 years of tremendous commentary, sakim, 500 years. And you can find them now. First of all, you find them very easily online. But here, you can just find it off your bookshelf. And the Otzer HaGaonim that Dr. Levine collected. Now there are more editions coming out. So on this area, the Gaonim, there's a number of fascinating shitot of the Gaonim. So for example, look at source 16. It's quoted in the Or Zeruah. So if you looked at the Or Zeruah, you'd be okay here. But I put it in the back for you. You know what, here, I can show you. I put it in the back for you, the Otzer HaGaonim. We'll look at one later together. So the Or Zeruah says, Kasav Rav Amram Gon. So Rav Amram lived in the 9th century. He was a Gon of Surah. Shabiyom Tishbab Mitzvalim Slichos Va'anenu Kamar Bishar Tainios B'chein Midag B'shtei Yeshivos. Okay, who are the Shtei Yeshivos? Okay, so it could be Surah and Pumbedisa. Scholars also think there were two Yeshivot in Surah. But according to Rav Amram, they in the 9th century, they would be saying slichos on Tisha B'Av. Okay, do we say slichos on Tisha B'Av? Do you do vidui on Tisha B'Av? Okay, so this is fascinating. That in the Gaonim, there was a sense, the sense of tshuva as a dominant theme started emerging. Is a great tshuva. I was showing you. If you look at, the back, in let's say one of the questions that came up here. Let's look at the Kuf Yud Gimel. One of the questions that came up to Rav Hai. Rav Hai was the Gaon of Pumpadisa in the 11th century. One of the questions they asked him. That they would walk after Chatzot, they'd put on shoes in Egypt. And Rav Hai was asked about that minhag. Is that a good minhag? That after Chatzot, you could start putting on shoes. How could that be? Ba'alecha omer es ko mitzvos hanogus ba'avel nogus b'tisha b'av. Anu ein ro'an lasos kein. Va'yom asur bin asandol ad sofa. Ve'im yesha mesim alibo shikashem sha'av evel noeg yom echad b'shmur achoka apilu mixas hayom kach b'tisha b'av lo kein hi. There was a svara that mixas hayom kukulo, you know, like if somebody's saying avelos, so how many days is Avelus? 7. When do you get up on the 7th day? In the morning. Why? Mixas hayom kukulu. If you start in it, if you start a little bit, it counts as the full day. So also, okay, you started without your shoes. So mixas hayom kukulu. It's a din of Avelus. You should be able not to wear shoes. Lo keini. Vashani Tisha B'Av. It gives two reasons why Tisha B'Av is different. Shabbatuna litavel yamim rabim afa sarba'av nisrav bayit rishon. Va'ama Rabbi Yochan Mitzake ilo yiti bo delo kavato basir rabanat tzlu barana sa'ika. If you guys are saying yom echad kulo lo mitzaso for another time. Va'od harayu taina sibor. Ve'ein lo marbo mixas hayom kukulo. That maybe mixas hayom kukulo works for Avelus. But there's no mixas hayom kukulo for a tainus sibor. You don't start the tainus and say, okay, I got an hour in, I'm good. Although somebody just told me that he's doing that because he's taking a flight like at 11 towards the east tomorrow. So he's going to have a very abbreviated fast. This is hot. So. Okay, but that's not a mixas hayom kukulo. We can talk about that another time. But the idea of mixayom kukulo, which is an you know, which work for Avelus, Rav Hai says it's not a tiny seaboard concept. And you see, really, in the Gaonim, a move to strengthen the aspect of Tisha B'Av as tshuva as a tiny seaboard. If you look at Ashkenaz afterwards, I think you actually have the opposite move. And, you know, we're not going to have time to discuss this all. But if you look at source number 17 and 18, so the Machzor Vitri, who's a Talmud of Rashi, writes, Bakari B'tishabav Omer Baruch Dayan Emes. V'yei sheminichin es haTorah l'karka b'tzalash chora. You put the Torah on the ground in a black wrap, shenafla atarad rashenu, Bekorin umaspidim ka'adim shemeso muta lefana, and you tear kriya, and it's mamish like meso muta lefana, which brings to another idea, which is not avelus but aninos, and there are elements of aninos. So the suda mafseket, there are elements of aninos that we see also in Tisha B'Av. V'yeshem hashamim mekomon, and he gives all these halachos that are avelus halachos. He says you should do. You don't say slichos. What do you say? Kinos. And you see it emphasized again, if you look at the Rosh in source number 18, just to gather some of the sources. This is obviously a layered. The Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Machaya Bikfiya Samita Vohod Lo Chachamim. The Inkof and Kolikar is a very interesting machlokes about overturning the beds, which is the Rosh says isn't one of the prohibitions of Avelis, but it's one of the chiyuvim of Avelis, the obligations of Avelis to overturn beds. We don't do that exactly today. Some people say that covering the mirrors is related to it. So Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev b'kfiyas hamita on Tisha B'Av, and the Chum were not modeh. V'u denami she'enu chayev atifas rosh, another minag of wrapping your head. V'apu fi she'en mitzvus anogos ba'avel, v'tani kol mitzvus anogos ba'avel nagis b'tisha B'Av, ha'i linyan mitzvus lota se'enogos ba'avel tanya. Mitzvus ha'seisha ba'avel k'kfiyas hamita v'atifas rosh b'hanach loka kamar. That the Rosh distinguishes between Chiyuvim and Isurim, and what is it of Avelus that we're taking on Tisha B'Av? You don't have to take the Chiyuvim, the positive commands, but you have to avoid all of the negative commands. It continues and talks about Tefillin. Interesting machlok is about Tefillin. Do you put Tefillin on Tisha B'Av or not? What do we do by Avelus? Do you put Tefillin on by Avelus? What? So there's a difference between the first day, Achrisa Yomar, and Per, and the rest of the days. So the question is, even when we say Tisha B'Av is like Avelus, what is it like Avelus? Is it like the first day of Avelus? Is it like 7 days of Avelus? The Rav also talks about maybe it's like the first three and not the last four, you know, with Tefillin being an afmina. But you have a lot, of talk, which is Avelus conversation, you know, and you see it a lot in Ashkenaz. Again, I think you see an interesting, everyone knows that it's a combination of a number of factors and that this is new kind of, it's Avelus derabim. It's a different thing. It's not Avelus Chadasha. It's not a velos of a yachid. It's not a velos with tshuva in it. And the question is, how do you mold these two? What do you accent? What's dominant? And where does it, and how does it show up? The Rav has a great sefer that one of our amazing Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Konigsberg, my dear friend, back when we were in Shir together in Morena Verbena Rabbi Rosenzweig, he wrote up the Rav's sefer on the Rav and Hilchos Avelus and Tisha B'Av, and he speaks the Rav as a number of different ideas, including the difference between the morning and the afternoon, that after Mincha we start saying Nachem and we start talking about Nechama and you stand up, and you know the different versions of the Rav's interpretation of it, whether you're going from Aninus, which has no nechama, to Avelus, or whether you're going from Avelus to Tshuva, perhaps you see it in this change actually in the evolution of the day. And these are all part of the conversation as you study all the Mekorot, Bezrat Hashem, on our way when it's Mutar, when the few things that it's Mutar to do, you'll be looking, you'll find it all, and you'll see the how these elements play itself out. What I want to suggest to close is that there's a reason why this tshuva versus Avelus and how it plays itself out specifically in this character of Tisha B'Av, of this Avelus Yishanu. Avelus Derabim. There's something different about this Avelus Derabim and Avelus Yeshana than Avelus in general, and even perhaps than Tshuva in general. The Rav spoke about it as it evolves over the course of a day, but what I would suggest is that it really evolves over the course of history. And what you have in Tisha B'Av is you have the arc of Jewish history. than Jewish history. And that's what Tisha B'Av is supposed to place you in, Jewish history. But you have the Chorban, and you have this terrible time, and you have the destruction. Okay, that's point. That's one point. But then over there, in the Bezrat Hashem not too distant future, you have the Geula. You have the redemption. And we are in between these two points. We're in between the Chorban and the Geula. And where you place yourself in this context, literally where you put the point, where you think that you might be, we don't know for sure, but where you think you might be, or where you place your energies on what you're focusing on. Is it about a past and mourning for a past? And certainly in a very deep, depressed, gullus state, you know, when Jews, let's say, taken European Christian lands, were suffering dramatically in the time of the Crusades and beyond, one could readily understand why avelos, why mourning would be a very dominant theme. You know, read through the kinos, right? And you see that the kinos, I mean, the sense of avelos, the Jewish history of avelos, you can understand why it's a very dominant theme. You know, is that your focus? Or is your focus on tshuva and the rebuilding? Now, I will tell you, after making Aliyah and being in Israel for many days of Tisha B'Av, there is a fundamentally different feel that Israelis think when they think about Tisha B'Av than it's felt like in America, in our parallel communities, in the, let's say, the Ati Lumi community in Israel and in our Orthodox community in America. In America, my sense is that people feel they're supposed to be mourning. I'm not saying they're really mourning. I'm just saying they think they're supposed to feel that they're mourning. In Israel, they don't even understand why they're supposed to be mourning. This year, they might understand. But in past years, the whole feeling is very different. On the night of Tisha B'Av, there's a very well-known walk around the ramparts of the old city. That is not a walk of mourning. That is a walk of we're here. And we're back. And there's a sense that what the focus on Tisha B'Av is, okay, this is where we are. How are you moving forward? So I felt this, like just being when I'm here versus when I'm there, like what's the primary focus? Like the idea of kinos, like with all the explanatory kinos, I haven't seen that in Israel so much. Like for Israelis. Like they're not sitting all day and talking about the, like what the Rav did here and the kinos, like I actually don't see so many Israelis that happening in Israel so much. I don't think they understand. Like you have to say it because that's our minhag. But the dwelling in it, like we're in a different tkufa. We're in a different period. You know, we should be focused on the rebuild. You know, and that question of looking past, looking forward, you know, and of course they interlink with one another. You know, the Rambam says that the Hilchos and Hilchos Tanios, when he explains, he says the point is, it's a very important Rambam. The Rambam says that Yesham Yamim Shekoyis Ramatanim Ben Bifnei Atzor Shirabem. What's the point of fasting and mourning? Is to awaken your hearts and open up the pathways to tshuva. So what does that mean to do l'maisa? Like, what should you do on Tisha B'Av? Should you say, do you, and this is a machlokes acharonim, how to read the Rambam, but is it, are you supposed to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? On Tisha B'Av? You should do tshuva on Yom Kippur, by the way. Are you supposed to do tshuva on Tisha B'Av? From this Rambam, what do you think? You're supposed to do tshuva? So it's unclear, is it, the morning is la'orer levavot. It could be that it's Av leads to Elul and Tishrei. That you're supposed to focus on the morning that will be ma'orer the levavot and leftoach darchei tshuva. You know, so this is the, like, it could be Avelus, but this is the conversation around this day. And, you know, in my head, it's very much tied to the national arc of Korban to Geula. And Tisha B'Av almost, by containing both elements, becomes a mirror. Where do you see yourself in this picture? How do you view your purpose? What's your tafkid? Where are you in the spectrum? Or are you even thinking of yourself in the national picture? That'd be a... That's what Tisha B'Av for sure is supposed to do. Take us out just of our own individual lives and thinking about, well, there's a story going on. It's the story of the Jewish people. Where am I in this story? You know, I think about the word Eicha, that the key word of this upcoming day, Eicha Yishva Badat, alas, how Jerusalem sits alone. And Moshe, earlier, Eicha Salavadi, I can't bear this alone, I can't be alone. But the word Eicha actually does show up, at least the letters show up earlier in the Torah. Where does the letter show up earlier in the Torah? Ayeka. The question isn't just, alas, our story. The question is, where are you in this story? It's not just we're sitting here and mourning the Eicha, but we also need to be asking Ayeka, where are you in this story? You know, I started off by talking about the ashes. The ashes of Ir David is an amazing, it's an amazing concept. Because you're sitting here with ashes and you're thinking about the Churban and the destruction. But at the same time, you will know that the only reason we're uncovering the ashes is because we're back and we're in Israel and we're building. That's why we're uncovering the ashes. And we have opportunities today that we've never had before. And the opportunity to channel the mourning and the feeling of what we're missing towards a greater goal of what we can achieve is the special privilege of living in Tisha B'Av in today's times. You know, in the past, they didn't necessarily have that that thought process in the same way. But whether it's work in Israel or whether it's being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in America, it's however you fit yourself into the greater story. And there's certainly huge opportunities all across the world to fit yourself into the larger story of the Jewish people. This is what Tisha B'Av asks us to consider. 10 days ago, it was a terrible attack in Tekoa. Tekoa, which the Jewish people have returned to, is also the place of Amos. You literally walk on the streets where Amos Hanavi. You walk on the land where Amos walked when you walk in Tekoa. So I will close with the closing of Amos. Hine yamim ve'imnu Hashem, the days are coming. V'shafti yeshvus ami Yisrael. I will return my people who were taken captive. Ubanu arim neshamos, and will build the cities that were destroyed. v'yishavu, and they will dwell in it. V'natu krameh v'shashu es yonam, and will build, will plant the vineyards, and they'll drink their wine. V'asu ganot v'achlu es priham, will make the gardens, and they'll eat their fruit. V'natatem alad masa, and once again plant on their ground. V'lo yinatu od ma'alad mosam, v'shenesati leham amar shem olkecha, and I will never uproot them again from the land that I have given. Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where we see prophecies being fulfilled every single day. May we be zochet to find our tafkid, our mission in this time to help move the Jewish story forward and bring the geula shlema. Mehera yavo.
He never got to produce Yosef. The Medrash talks about how, you know, we two have this final